طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we want to start by first asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us success in the days that are ahead of us and the nights that are ahead of us in this blessed month of Ramadan. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to attain success during this period of time in taking advantage of all of the opportunities that He has presented to us in this virtuous period of time, especially the obligation of fasting, and along with it, those other acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are associated with Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, standing in the night and reading the Quran and dhikr and charity and so on. All of those things that inshallah, every single day and every single night, that we are conscious and aware of the importance of this time, this period of time, and that we take advantage of it and utilize it to our benefit. Secondly, we want to just complete what remains from the book, the treatise on Muslim unity, Al-Hath ala Ijtima' Kalimat al-Muslimin wa Dhamm al-Tafarruq wal-Ikhtilaf by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. And what remains from it are the questions from the last session, questionnaire study guide number 7. We're just going to look through those questions quickly before we go on to the next matter in front of us tonight. So the questions, if anybody can help us quickly to get through them. The first question is, discuss the bab, the door or the avenue which the teacher should open for the student, leading to unlimited religious benefits. And what is this bab? Now, Abu Bakr.
It's
bab al-bahth.
The door of research, al-muraja'a, review.
Naam. نعم باب البحث والمراجعة والانتقاء في المسائل العلمية opening the door for the students, showing them and encouraging them and helping them and cooperating with them in researching religious issues, knowledge based issues in the deen, researching them, reviewing them and learning how to choose the correct views. Indeed, there are many benefits that this entails. The second question, discuss briefly the first religious benefit achieved through opening the above mentioned bab. The first thing that the Shaykh mentions in terms of the masalih ad-diniyah, the religious benefits from this bab of research and review and selecting, carefully selecting correct opinions. Tayyib, nobody else? Naam, Abu Bakr, second Abu Bakr, naam. Naam, that it entails a ta'awun ala al-birr wa taqwa, cooperating in piety and righteousness. And there are no beneficial things of this world or the next life that can be achieved except through a ta'awun ala al-birr wa taqwa. And from amongst them are research and religious issues. And that it is completed and perfected by cooperation between the teacher and the students and the other students. This brother Abdullah, that's Sadiq right there. Maybe he's the one you're looking for. No, standing with the attendance sheet. Okay, question number 3. Explain what is meant by the author, rahimahullah, in the second benefit when he says istidlal and at-tarji'. When he says that this research, it helps the students, it trains them and gives them the manners that are necessary to compare opposing views. Al-mu'arada wal-istidlal wal-tarji' wal-tada'if. What does he mean by al-istidlal and what does he mean by al-tarji'? Who knows what is the meaning of istidlal? If people are studying Arabic, they should know istidlal is from bab استفعل يعني استدلال يعني لك like استغفر استغفار نعم what does it mean استدلال to extract to seek out the dalil seeking the dalil for a particular view يعني when comparing opposing views seeking the evidence or the dalil that supports that view this is called استدلال seeking the dalil for a particular يعني view نعم and الترجيح نعم giving preference يعني ترجيح means that when you look at the evidences for opposing views when you look at the evidences you see which evidences are stronger or يعني more closely fitting to the point يعني under discussion that there's difference about يعني the ترجيح means to show which evidences are more weightier are more preponderant over other evidences يعني sometimes يعني different views all of them have evidences but which evidences are the weightiest يعني are the stronger يعني most accurate in hitting the point and most authentic and stronger and so on like this question number 4 discuss the consequence of the teacher's neglect or disregard for this important avenue of learning what are يعني what is the consequence of the teacher neglecting this bab يعني in brief يعني in brief now in brief now okay may stifle the student now that's all it but not complete yeah the student that's specifically in reference to the student but the consequence of the teacher doing so does it just affect the student
no.
it closes the door of benefit on everyone the teacher and the student And if the teacher neglects this bab, this avenue, this door of research, it neglects yani opening this for the student, then this is the closing of the door of benefit for the teacher and the students. Allahumma musta'an. طيب question number 5 discuss the loss harm and damage to the student specifically when the teacher neglects or disregards this avenue of learning yani what is the loss or the harm or the damage to the student نعم جزاك الله خير نعم ابو بكر And a student, his mind will become stagnant, and he will become a blind follower. Now, what else?
He will not be guided.
He will not be guided to that which is correct. If he doesn't learn how to research and compare opposing views and seek evidences and weigh the evidences, he won't be. How will he know the correct view? Except in some simple, clear matters. As far as the matters that require research and study and examination, then he won't. This door will be closed to him. Naam, it will hinder the student from yani holding fast to that which he finds to be true. If he finds that the teacher says something different than what he believes to be correct, then he will begin to doubt what he has reached, or he may just give it up and believe yani something else other than what he knew to be or he thought to be the truth. If he doesn't yani engage in this kind of study and research and examining yani different views and evidences for them and weighing the evidences, then it will be a great loss to the student. Mention 3 or 4 of the benefits that the teacher will lose out on when he neglects or disregards this avenue. Naam. Fadl.
So if he had done so, he had given the student an opportunity to research, that would have helped him in remembering the knowledge that he had forgotten.
Then the teacher would be reminded of some things that he has forgotten, some knowledge that he has forgotten. Naam. Or even something new that he didn't know, because yes, the student sometimes will come with knowledge that the teacher even doesn't have. So that kind of cooperation, he will even learn some new things. Now,
something that was difficult for him to understand,
kind of mushkilan. It wasn't clear. It was difficult. The matter wasn't clear. It may become clear from this kind of intercourse between the teacher and the student, researching, comparing, and like this. Now. Anything else?
It may open more respect for the student and for the teacher.
Okay, yeah, it brings a closer relationship between the student and the teacher, for sure, no doubt about it. But there's one more point the Shaykh mentions.
The teacher will do more studying and more research.
Okay, we'll cause the teacher to do more studying, research, and be more careful. But he mentioned the specifically benefits, yani, to the teacher. He mentioned the teacher may, yani, gain some new knowledge, maybe reminded of something forgotten, and also that the teacher might, yani, step back from a position that he has taken, which is opposed to that which is correct. He may realize that maybe it's not what as he thinks it is, or at least, yani, he may reverse his position, or at least, yani, tawakkuf, yani, hold back from taking a stand on something that, yani, he used to think, yani, he used to hold firmly to. Question number 7: what harms will come to the teacher if he knows that he will not be opposed or confronted, no matter what he says? If he knows that the students are not going to say anything, even if he says it's okay for intermingling between men and women, even if he says, you know, that's not really, you know, something that's so bad, you know, if the people have dhikr in jama'ah after the salat, many people do it everywhere. If he says that, and he knows that, nobody's going to oppose him, nobody's going to confront him, nobody's going to say anything, then what happens? Well, he would definitely be... Huh? That would be a problem for him. He'll become negligent. He'll become careless. He'll be tasahil. Yeah, he'll just take the matter easy. He won't be careful. He won't be conscious of what he's saying. He'll become lax. He won't be worried about whatever he says or whatever he conveys to them. Nobody's going to say anything anyway. And this will lead to what? It will lead to a lot of mistakes and errors. And the teacher can make a lot of mistakes if he's just free. He's unopposed. Say whatever you want to say. Nobody's going to say anything. All right, this is what we found, yani, too common today. That the teacher, khalas, he's the sheikh. So the students, they don't say anything. They say, they know this is not right. How are you doing that? But they won't say anything. So he becomes careless, negligent, lax, and he falls into a lot of mistakes and errors. So sometimes, yani, the students have to step up, but, yani, with respect and, yani, with manners and etiquette. Naam, due to questioning from the students, the author says the teacher's khuluq, character and manners, will improve. Explain, how is that? How is it that the teacher's manners may improve due to questioning or opposition from the students? How is that? What, in what way does he mean? He will improve in what way? He will not be offended.
If the student were to ask him regarding an issue, and if he were to, I guess, challenge him,
he will not be offended. He will not get upset. No. He will not, yani,
reject the student.
Reject, okay? Yani, meaning that what? He will attain, he will achieve an aptitude, an ability to bear patiently being opposed, being questioned. And this is a high standard of character, that when the teacher can be opposed by the student and be okay with it, it's all right. You have a right to question? No. This is a character that we don't find in the world today, except amongst scholars, real scholars. But as for the other people, they're unquestionable. They can't be questioned. They can't tolerate. The Sheikh said what? That most people who have any kind of position or status, they can't bear to be challenged by somebody less than them. Rather, not even from those who are equal to them or above them, they don't want to be challenged by. So what about somebody who is considered to be, yani, under them? Lastly, what should the student's manner of presenting a view which opposes the view of his teacher? What should the student's manner, yani, how? What should be the student's way of, yani, presenting a view which opposes the view of the teacher? How should it be done? Yeah. Now, polite and what? I didn't hear the second thing you said. Respectful, polite and respectful. Now, shouldn't be in a challenging manner, but rather should be what? يعني بصورة السؤال والاسترشاد. يعني it's as though he's just asking a question, not challenging. Okay? He knows that the teacher has a different view, but he's just asking it as though I'm just asking a question. Or استرشاد, like, I just want you to guide me. I don't understand this matter. Can you, like, explain this to me? You know, show me. I don't know how to understand this. Okay? He brings the teacher some proof or evidence and he asks the teacher to explain it to him. Not like, I'm challenging you, I'm just saying I don't really understand this. you know. He brings it to the teacher in the gentlest and kindest way, yani in the most respectful way that will necessitate it being accepted. Yani being conscious of what you're saying to people, so that not just that you refute them or you belittle them, but rather yani you get them to accept what you're saying, so that people can change from the errors that they have to that which is correct. Now.